Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the Trust College Shepherd Children Foundation, Alabama, 12 down in Hill, Texas. Today is May 22, 2017, and there is this 26, 2021. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, This World Is Not My Home. Not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't be at home in this world anymore. Oh, yeah, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then what else would I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. Will you pardon me, and then I'll let go. I know you'll take me to the weekend course, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Well, yeah, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then now what will I do? The angels that can hold me from heaven's open door, and I can't even hold in this world anymore. I have a loving Savior up in glory land. I don't expect to stop until I with his stand. He's waiting now for me in heaven's open door, and I can't get it home in this world anymore. Oh, yeah, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, what on earth will I do? The angels beckon only from heaven's open door, and I can't get in my home in this world anymore. Just up in glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. The song of sweetest praise is back from heaven's shore. This world anymore. Oh, yeah, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then yeah, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't get it home in this world anymore. Rebellion, sin of witchcraft. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 1. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Yahweh sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of Yahweh, thus saith Yahshua of the host. Now just a minute here. This is, we start off with Yahweh. The Yahweh has sent me. The Yahweh sent me to anoint thee to be king. We know that the son Yahshua is the master of ceremony of the host of this earth, the one that he supplied his blood for the redemption of, and that's all those that avail themselves of his blood. So let's continue here. It says, the Yeshua sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now when you realize that Yahweh gave this world to his son Yahshua after the fall of Adam and Eve, and he became the high priest and the propitiation for sin between Yahweh and man, and so therefore we're going to have to get used to this idea of Yahshua being in charge of the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, completely starting at the Garden of Eden. It says, the Yahshua sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Yahshua. Thus saith the Yahshua of the host, I remember that which Amalek did unto Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, and infant, and suckling ox, and sheep, camel, and ass. And Saul gathered the people together, and numbered them in Telem, 200,000 footmen, and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek, and said, wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenite, go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness unto all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah, until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. Now Yahweh makes a distinction between peoples of this earth, those that befriend Israel and those that don't. The Amalekites, they dogged Israel's steps coming out of Egypt and on the tail end of them, and they would sneak in and slay the people that were lagging behind, and the Israel. And the Kenites, they showed kindness to Israel whenever they was given the opportunity. But yet the Kenites and the Amalekites, they lived together. And so, when Saul was commanded to destroy the Amalekites, then the Kenites were given a warning and a message to separate from those Amalekites, because they were the ones that did nice things for Israel. And so Yahweh will always protect those people that do nice things for Israel. He will always give them a blessing and save them. And he'll destroy the enemies that hate and come against Israel. Okay. This says in verse 8 of 1 Samuel 15, he says, and he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. What did Saul want in saving the king alive? If he's going to kill everybody else, destroy all life, that is, he was commanded to destroy all life, king and all, to wipe them off the face of the earth, their animals and everything. And let's see what Saul, he did not kill Agag, kept him alive. And then he said the people wanted to save the best of the animals for sacrifice. Let's go ahead. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. The Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of Yahweh unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto Yahweh all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou the Yahweh, I have performed the commandments of the Yahweh. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleeding of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Yahweh the Elohim, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. And Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Yahweh hath said unto me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Yahweh anointed thee king over Israel. And the Yahweh sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be concerned. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of Yahweh, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Yahweh? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Yahweh, and have gone the way which the Yahweh sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Yahweh the Elohim in Gilgal. Now, what did Saul say unto Samuel? He admitted. He said, But the people took of the spoil. In other words, he deferred the responsibility to the people. A sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been destroyed. So now he's telling Samuel, Well, the people took of all this, the sheep and oxen stuff, the stuff that should have been destroyed, but they took. The men in Saul's are saying, I didn't have the power or the authority over them to command them to kill all them oxen. Matter of fact, they knew that Saul approved of them saving the life of those sheep and oxen. That's the reason why the people didn't kill them. The other people wanted to save them, all right enough. But whatever Saul told them to do, that's what they would do. They wouldn't dare disobey Saul. So Saul, he was the one that in his heart, so he lied to Samuel. He deferred it to the people. He made an excuse and said, they're the ones that wanted to save him. But they should have been killed. They should have been destroyed, but the people warned them. So Saul showed right there that he was not going to be a qualified individual to lead Israel to victory and to make Israel a triumphant nation in the end. He proved that from the very beginning. Well, that's what Willis Johnson did in the very beginning of his ministry in 1970. It took Willis Johnson 1 year to prove that he was not qualified and that he would not deliver the house of Israel to the victory when his ministry was over with. And he would not deliver Gilead's center up to the victory. He proved that in his first year, just like Saul did. He proved that in his first year. But Yahweh let him live on for another 40 years and lead Israel. King Saul. So now, it says that in 1 Samuel 15:22, and Samuel said, Hath Yahweh as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Yahweh? Behold, To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of Yahweh, he hath also rejected thee from being king. So now Samuel, he's already done told King Saul, he said, well, Yahweh has already rejected you. Okay. But Saul didn't want to give up the ship. When Willis Johnson made his first blunder down at Gilead Center in 1971 at the Passover, that he held down the Waco with the rodents there at the old Mount Carmel, Willis Johnson held it there, and that's where he had a chance to either triumph over his former brethren, the rodents, that used to be his leaders, that used to be his boss people that ruled over him. Now Brother Johnson has been exalted to rule, to be the ruler in place of Ben Roden, his elder, and Brother Johnson had a test to prove if he could do it, and he didn't prove out. He lost the ball game that day at the Passover. So Yahweh rejected Brother Johnson. And that rejection meant that Yahweh, if Brother Johnson had to prove faithful and obeyed Yahweh's voice on every time he gave Rodas a command, Rodas would deliver the Gilead Center up to the victory when it come time for the Gilead Center to triumph. But Rodas Johnson, being disobedient right off, Yahweh did the same thing to him as he did to King Saul. He sent a prophet to give him warnings, in which I was that one. I didn't know it at the time, but I was the one he sent to give warnings. Every time Brother Johnson made a mistake, I would give him a warning and tell him, you made a mistake. And he came to resent it. So much after 32 years of that, he couldn't take it. Number one, he finally just kicked me out of the church and called me a devil and everything else. He says, I'm the one that has troubled Israel, that has troubled his camp for 32 years. And so therefore, Yahweh, this prophecy here, I read to you in verse 23, this message here that Samuel gave to King Saul, he says, for rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. Well, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of Yahweh, he hath also rejected thee from being king. So Brother Johnson then, according to heaven, he was set up as the king of Israel, set upon the throne of David, according to heaven's record. That's what the Bible called for. That David would never lack a man to sit upon the throne of David, and that's what was set up in 1970. Brother Johnson set up the throne of David. Ben Rhodes set the throne up in 1970 at the end of his ministry. He set up the throne of David. But Brother Johnson denied the throne of David. He denied it. He said, no, there's no throne of David now. And yet, Yahweh heaven had put Brother Johnson up on the throne of David. I can prove that to you from Luke 1:31, 32, and 33. I can prove to you that Yahweh put Brother Johnson up on the throne of David in Luke 1:32, 33. I can prove it to you. Fix me to do it right now. It says, in verse 32, and he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the High, and Yahweh Elohim shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Now this is the Yahweh through the prophecy of Luke, showing where Yahweh has given unto his son, the earthly throne of his earthly father David, of the throne of David. And behold, it says in verse 30 and 31, and the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with Yahweh. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Yahshua. He shall be called great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Yahweh Elohim shall give unto him the throne of his father David. So, in 1970, Yahshua, time had come. Gilead Center, his time had come to be the mouthpiece for Verus W. Johnson, the Isaac Branch message, Yahshua in the form of the message of prophecy, was there in 1970 to guide Verus Johnson in creating a creation calendar, restoring the sanctuary system, and gave him his message called the Isaac Branch message, and the branch is another name for Yahshua, because Yahshua's time had come, and Verus Johnson showed this. He showed where the tender branch sprouted in 1970. That symbol of that tender branch also sprouted in Jerusalem in 1970 there upon the mount where the Dome of the Rock is. That tender branch sprouted. It was an olive tree. It had been with a band around it for 2,000 years. And they said, and Israel said the year that stump sprouts would be the year of his redeem. That the time for Yahshua's time period to begin here in the last days. And it sprouted in 1970, and Brother Johnson showed this between him and his message in 1970. So Yahshua came. And because he sits upon the throne of David. Yahshua was coronated in heaven to sit upon the throne of David in heaven. And so it says he's going to sit upon the throne of David. And so Yahshua came and set up Brother Johnson on that throne in 1970, the throne of David. And Brother Johnson then repeated what King Saul did. He repeated exactly what King Saul, because King Saul was a type of Verus Johnson's ministry. Verus Johnson's antitypical King Saul in the flesh, carnal. Alright. And Saul said unto Samuel, verse 24, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Yahweh. And thy words, He says, I've transgressed the commandment of the Yahshua. This is not just Yahweh, it's the Yahshua. And your words also, he said, because I feared the people. Uh-oh. Saul feared the people? Yahweh made him king over Israel? The people, and he put the fear in the hearts of the people to serve King Saul. Now how is it that all of a sudden King Saul, this thing is reversed, and King Saul fears the people? He's lying. He's making an excuse. In his heart, he wanted to save the animals himself. He wanted to save that King Agag alive. Matter of fact, he didn't even like killing the people. But he said, well, I don't need these people anyway, but this king, I could use him. But what could he use King of Amalekites? What could he use him for, Agag? He was a murderer. He'd already murdered many, many of the Israeli people, women. He'd already murdered lots of Israelites coming out of Egypt. Okay. So what would King Saul want to save him alive for? If he was a true Israelite and a true king of Israel that loved the children of Israel. It shows that he was an Obama. art. It just shows that he was an enemy to Yahweh's people. It shows that he was an enemy to Yahweh. So the children of Israel wanted the king. Yahweh says, okay, I'll give you a king. I'll give you someone that will rule over you and oppress you and treat you like an enemy, and which King Saul did. He said, I'll give you somebody. The people that were over there was glad to have King Saul. Oh, they were just so glad that Samuel relented and gave them a king to rule over them. Oh, then King Saul turned against them. Just after he made ruler over Israel, then he turned against the children of Israel. Just like Obama, President of the United States, swore on the Constitution that he'd uphold, defend the citizens of the United States, of the Constitution, that he would uphold the Constitution. Lied like a dog. He didn't intend to uphold not one precept of the Constitution. Matter of fact, he was bent on one thing, that was to destroy it and destroy the people of the United States. Except his own people that's coming and invaded our land. Verse 25, now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin. Now here, King Saul is asking Samuel to pardon his sin. He said, pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may worship the Yahweh. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Yahweh. And the Yahweh has rejected thee from being king over Israel. So why should I return to you? You're through your history. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold, that was King Saul, upon his skirt and his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, Yahweh has rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it unto a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. So in 1971, when Willis Johnson made a boondoggle at the Passover and totally lost the day unto Satan, because he let Satan and his henchmen take over the meetings at the Passover, the 3 o'clock meeting in the afternoon, and just flat destroyed the congregation and scattered the sheep. And Brother Johnson wrote a letter and said, we had a successful Passover. And yet, he was the one that gave the permission to the devil's disciple to take over Brother Johnson's meeting, and Brother Johnson, instead of standing in the pulpit where he was supposed to be, delivering the messages of unification for both camps of the Rodens and the Johnsons camp, he was sitting out in the pew letting a demonic person that wasn't even a Sabbath keeper or a feast keeper, he was a charismatic spirit, evil spirit-filled person named Brother McElroy, take over the pulpit. Take over the sacred desk there at the meeting place. And so it says, when you see the abomination of desolation that maketh desolate stand in the holy place, well, that's what happened at the Passover to 1971. The abomination that maketh desolate was standing in the holy place, and that was Brother McElroy. Incidentally, Brother McElroy, because he did not get the remnant, though, that Satan wanted him to get that day, and that was me and the people that ended up with me 32 years later, because he didn't get us and overthrow us, then the devil attacked Brother McElroy and tore his insides to shreds, and 90 days after that meeting was over, the devil attacked his own man because his own man didn't get what the devil sent him after. So he destroyed, Satan destroyed him. The man died a horrible death, torn to shreds inside. He was demon-possessed. The demons tore him to pieces. And Brother Johnson knew this. He knew what happened to this man. And Brother Johnson didn't fear one bit to carry on. He was not qualified to stand in that sacred desk and deliver the message to Israel every week. Willis wasn't qualified for that, but he wouldn't step down. So Yahweh left him up there for the next 33 years. Next 32 years. And so finally, when Yahweh finally had to bring him down, he still was adamant about, I'm still the right man to lead to the house of Israel into the land of Israel and into the close of probation. He was still adamant about it. And yet he had been a failure for 33 years. And he had been warned for 33 years about the mistakes that he was making all along the way. And still, he went on saying, I'm perfect. I'm above sin. I'm going to lead this congregation clear to the end of time. That's the attitude that King Saul had. Okay. It says in 1 Samuel 15:29, and also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me that I may worship the Yahweh the Elohim. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Yahweh. Then said Samuel, bring me hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately, and Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. And Samuel said, as thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Yahweh in Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up unto his house to Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Yahweh repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. Okay. 1 Samuel chapter 16, David anointed as king. Now this is where we're at. I represent antitypical David, and it is after Saul, after Saul was dead, that David was anointed as king over Israel. When I say that, I don't know why I said that so soon. David was anointed as king over Israel at the age of 17 when he was just a little shepherd boy. And so how long then had King Saul been king? Up to the time that David was anointed. He hadn't been king very long because as soon as Saul disobeyed the first command in the first year, in his first battle out, then Yahweh sent Samuel to the house of Jesse to anoint him the next king of Israel, to take Saul's place. So David was anointed real quickly. In the first year of Saul's reign, David was anointed by Samuel secretly to be his successor. Unbeknownst to David, though, he'd have to wait a few years. I say that it was in the next year. Now, honestly, David, he was 30 years old when he became acting king, and he was 17 when he was anointed. So, and when David was anointed to be king, King Saul's 40-year period was up. So, King Saul then reigned as king 13 years longer, further after David was anointed to be king. So King Saul then had 13 more years to go to sit upon the throne of Israel. Not upon the throne of David, but upon the throne of Israel, because the throne of David hadn't been established yet. So King Saul served out 13 more years, and then David became 30 years old, and then Saul came to his end, and then David was a crowned king. He was anointed king at the age of 17. He was crowned king at the age of 30. Okay, anointed is one thing and crowning is another. Okay. So, I was anointed. I was anointed for sure in 2002 when I succeeded Brother Johnson at Gilead Center to be the next king of Israel, to sit upon the throne of David. But there won't be no crowning until the 144,000 comes forth. Because that's when the 144,000 are going to be crowned as prophets, priests, and kings over the 12 tribes of Israel. King David has to be completely restored in his health to full autonomy in mind, body, and spirit before he is crowned. Okay. So this is where we're at today. I am not restored in full mind, body, and spirit as far as full restoration to perfection. And that won't happen until at the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on an antitypical day of the Pentecost. That's when that will take place. It won't take place before time. Because we're in a testing, proven time right now. We're in a time when our bodies are being, and our minds and our spirits are being restored. Where we're sitting up heaven's organized system here on earth. We've got to sit it up 100%. We've got to be perfected daily, the 9 o'clock and the 3 o'clock every day, 7 days a week. And we have to perfect that. And in order for heaven to put its blessing and seal of approval upon this ministry. And heaven has given us all the light and information, given us all power, given us... We have the avenue of prayer that we can avail ourselves of 24 hours a day. And that's where the power comes from. That's where everything is successful from. It starts with prayer. So when we learn to become a people instant in prayer, in season and out of season, depend upon Yahweh for the very breath that we breathe, but then he can, once we've been proven, and then he will test and try us like gold tried in the fire, and then he will put the crown upon us at the appointed time, and it says so right there in Joshua chapter 3, and now I'm going to turn to you and read that, Joshua chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3, that's where it's at, Zechariah chapter 3. And he's talking about this very, very thing that would take place because Joshua, the son of Josedek, and the prophecy and the antitype is antitypical David. So let's just go and witness this antitypical crowning of antitypical King David. We have it in the prophecy. That's when it's reading the scripture says in Peter, you have also a more sure word of prophecy, that you would do well to take heed as unto a light that shines into a dark place until the day dawn and the day star rises in our hearts. This is the most beautiful part when you understand type and antitype and then how to associate the prophecies together. So in Zechariah chapter 3 it says that and he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of Yahweh, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And Yahweh said unto Satan, Yahweh rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Yahweh that hath chosen Yahrushim rebuke thee. Is not this a brand cooked out of the fire? David was a brand plucked out of the fire. Now why do I say that? Israel was at a low point in their life when they cried out for a king from among them to be their ruler. Instead of Yahweh or Samuel or Yeshua ruling over them, they wanted a visible human king that they could look at, and they could tell him what to do, and they didn't mind being enslaved by him. They didn't mind giving up all their freedoms, just as long as they had security of a king that would protect their lives and fight their battles for them. That's all. They completely gave their up their freedom just for this one security. All right. Now it says, now Joshua was clothed with the filthy garments and stood before the angel. Now, as I told you, that Rhodes Johnson represented us, Yahweh's servant sitting upon the throne of David. Okay. Now, Rhodes Johnson was strong on this Zechariah chapter 3, and he says that he was this Joshua here in Zechariah 3. The only thing he didn't like about this Joshua in Zechariah 3 was the fact that Joshua at the beginning had filthy garments on. And Brother Johnson believed that he was above sin, that he didn't have no filthy garment. And so therefore, that's the only thing Brother Johnson didn't like about this chapter, was the fact that this Joshua, that Brother Johnson said he was the antitype of, the only thing is Brother Johnson didn't have no filthy garments, at least he didn't believe he did. And in Zechariah 3, verse 4, he said, and he answered and spake to unto those that stood before him, saying, take away thy filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. So that's what happened in 2002 at Kermit, Texas. Because when Yahweh challenged Rhodes Johnson to repent and to get rid of his filthy garments, he refused. And he condemned me for giving him the message from heaven telling him to do that. And he refused to give up his filthy garments. So who is this one then that gets his garments changed? Because this Joshua here gets his garments changed. It just so happened that I recognized that I had filthy garments. Because I couldn't be connected to Gilead Center without filthy garments, because that's all they all had. That's all we all had out there is filthy garments. So, verse 5, and I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of Yahweh stood by. So they took off the filthy garments off of this Joshua, and put him some clean white linen garments on, which represents the righteousness of the saints. Alright? Because it says that Yahweh had caused his iniquity to pass. That's the only way you get these clean garments, new garments, was his iniquity would have to be taken away. But they liked their filthy garments down there. The leadership liked their filthy garments down there. They didn't want to give them things up at all. They got comfortable with them. Man, they were settled on their leaves and they got comfortable. Whew. Well, that's what Zephaniah said. Just a few books back, Zephaniah said that they were settled on their leaves. That are in Zephaniah chapter 1. Okay, I think it says Zephaniah 1:12. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their leaves, that say in their heart that Yeshua will not do good, neither will he do evil. Well, that happened in 2002 at Kermit, to Gilead Center. He says it came to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles. So he searched the whole Adventist church, which was called Jerusalem in the beginning, 1844. He searched them for 158 years. And he stretched it right down to Gilead Center. And he found when he started judging at the house of Yahweh, 1 Peter 4:17, he started with Brother Johnson. That's where he ended his search with candles of Jerusalem and punished the men that had settled on their lead. So he punished the leadership that was settled on their lead down there, and he took them out of the way and put them in their graves. Yahweh will not do good, neither will it evil. Therefore, their good shall become a booty, and their houses a desolation. They also shall build houses, but not inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards, but not drink the wine thereof. I took a video camera and went back to Kermit after it was all over with. I went to Brother Johnson's headquarters, his house, and his administration building, and I took pictures of all the houses that he and his families lived in, and they were nothing but empty ghost houses. Doors falling off his hinges. I mean, it was nothing but grown-up weeds and trees are dying, and it looked like a ghost place.
Shambles.
It was a shamble. And Brother Johnson was taken away from there, and they left their motor car. They couldn't even drive their motor car, so they left it sitting there, and it had been sitting there for 5 years when I went back there in the driveway. When I went back there and the house falling down around it. That's what happened to their possessions. Okay. It says in Zephaniah 1:14, for the great day of the Yahweh is near. It is near and hastes greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Yahweh. For the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. Who's the mighty man? That's the prophet that has apostatized and had to be cut off and turned away. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. This is Zephaniah 1:16. A day of the trumpet. Now here's this trumpet. Did you know that this trumpet is the same name as Donald Trump? Donald Trump is this trumpet today. See, it's the day of the trumpet. And today is the day that Donald Trump is in Israel, Jerusalem today. And this is the day that he's sounding his trumpet. And he said, the whole world is listening. Okay. An alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. Okay. And I will bring distress upon men that they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Yahweh, and their blood shall be poured out as dust and their flesh as the down. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Yahshua's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. Now he's talking about the land of the United States first and foremost, because we got the same people over here as they got in Jerusalem. We got the Muslims. We got the Arabs of every nation. Of the Arabs, they're here as well as they are in Israel. And we've got the evil Orthodox Jews that are in the land running it. And what does he say he's going to do? He says, neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them the day of the Yahshua's wrath, but the whole land. Now when it says whole land of Israel, it's talking about all those Arab nations. Donald Trump just came from Saudi Arabia. And he's in Israel today. He just left Saudi Arabia the last 2 days. Had 54 Muslim nations, Arab nations, were invited to come there for that summit with Donald Trump. And they all agreed to Donald Trump's terms to do what he told them to do. Now he's going to Israel, and Israel's saying, we're waiting for Donald Trump to tell us what to do, and whatever he tells us to do, we're going to do it. They don't do anything without His permission. Folks, this is where we're at today. It says the whole land. And what did Donald Trump pass judgment on? Iran. Iran's right next door to Saudi Arabia, where he just went and addressed. They received him with a royal turnout. They rolled out the red carpet. They played on American National Anthem with their hands on their hearts. Both sides, the Saudi Arabians come bending, they come bowing and kissing Donald Trump's feet. When Obama went there last year to Saudi Arabia, he went over and bowed and kissed their feet, kissed the king's feet. Donald Trump goes over this year and the king comes and bows and kisses his feet. A reversal. Because the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. So he sent his servant, Donald Trump, and he said, because he's raised him up in righteousness to do his will. And now I'm going to turn to Isaiah 44:28 and 45:1-13 and close this sermon and show you exactly what's going on. It says, let's read, the Yahweh will renew people and the city. This is in Isaiah 44:24-28. It says, the Yahweh will renew people and renew the city. And that's what he's doing right now. He's got his servant Donald Trump over him, sounding his trumpet. He says, thus saith the Yahweh, thy Redeemer. Actually, this is Yahshua talking. He's the Redeemer of mankind here on earth by his blood. Thus saith the Yahshua, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. Well, actually, Yahweh is the Father that formed thee from the womb. So let's go back to the Father on earth. Thus saith the Yahweh, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Yahweh that maketh all things, that stretches forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself, that frustrateth the tokens of the liars, and maketh diviners mad, and turneth wise men backward, and maketh their knowledge foolish, that confirmeth the word of his servant, and performeth the counsel of his messengers, that saith unto Jerusalem, thou shalt be inhabited, and unto the cities of Judah, ye shall be built, and I will raise up the decayed places thereof. Thus saith unto the deep, be dry, and I will dry up thy rivers. Thus saith unto Cyrus, he is my shepherd, Donald Trump, and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying unto Jerusalem. And what is Donald Trump at today? Even as we speak, he is in Jerusalem right now, speaking to the leaders of Israel, Netanyahu, and the president of Israel. And he's speaking to Abbas, the president of the Palestinian Authority, today. He's speaking to both of them. Okay. Thou shalt be built. And what is he telling Jerusalem? We are going to have peace, and they're going to be getting rid of Israel and Judea, and all the cities will be built. He then issued that decree several months ago, Donald Trump had. Now he's confirmed it today in Jerusalem. Thou shalt be built to the temple, thy foundation shall be laid. So Donald Trump is laying the foundation with the leaders of Israel today in Jerusalem. And in chapter 45, verse 1, it says, thus saith the Yahshua unto his anointed, unto Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight, I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron, and I will give thee the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places. And lo and behold, they couldn't bring enough wealth to start Donald Trump off at the Arab nations yesterday there in Riyadh of Saudi Arabia. Well, even Donald Trump's wife made a speech, and they give her $100 million. Who ever heard of somebody getting $100 million for making a speech? Donald Trump gets a $350 billion deal from those 54 Arab nations. They couldn't pour enough riches and the glory and honor upon him if they wanted to. Said, I will give thee the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Yahweh, which called thee by thy name, am the Elohim of Israel. For Yahweh, my servant's sake, and Israel, mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. And what was his surname? Donald Trump. Trump. I am the Yahweh, and I am the Yahshua, and there is none else. There is no, I am the Yahweh, the Father. And there is none else, there is no Yahweh beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west, and there that there is none beside me. I am the Yahweh, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Yahweh, do all these things. Okay, now what did I say yesterday when I read that? I read you Proverbs 16:4 to go along with that. And what does it say in Proverbs 16:4? Pretty interesting. It says that he creates the evil. Let me read it to you. The Yahweh hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Okay, that right there settled it. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Yahweh, have created it. So he's making righteousness spring up together between the Arab nations and the Israeli nations, the Jewish nations. He's making righteousness to spring up between them. Because he said right there in verse 1, he says, verse 13, I have raised him up in righteousness, this Donald Trump, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall go, and he shall let my captive, and he shall let go of my captives, not for price nor reward, saith the Yahshua of the host. This brings the close of our study this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call, and number 11, click on our audio archive. We're going to close this service now with a song. Purify my soul like gold tied with fire by Elijah Day. I've been living a long time in this world, so it seems. Chasing rainbows and following dreams. Fulfilling desires and striving to be myself in this world with life filled with thee. Savior knows better, he knew all along. Testing trials that help keep me strong. From the cares of this life with intense desire, and purify my soul like gold fire in the fire. No self-chasing, no rainbow, and that part of gold. And purify my soul. surrender my life to His care. Of this life with intensity, he's done.